Thank you, Zip. Yeah, sharing an office with Zip is fun, let me tell you. Only I will know. One day I'll tell you about it. But yeah, thank you, Zip. Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing? All right. Brad's all right. Everyone else okay? Amen. Good, good. I just love the presence of Jesus. Amen. Just what Steve came and brought as we've seen that song, Emmanuel, God with us. It was incredible. It was almost to the word what God was speaking to me about in that moment. And God was just confirming how important the presence of Jesus is in our walk as Christians, in our lives. It's what separates us from other religions. It's what separates us from other faiths, from other spiritual people. Other religions are dead. They have no life. They try to attain to God, but we have a personal, intimate relationship with God Himself. And that's actually what freaks the religious out. It's like, you're saying you can have a relationship with the creator of the universe? And that freaks the religious out. And then you have the super spiritual, the spiritists who are all like wacky and abry, like, I am one with the universe, man. But they're almost onto something. They're almost onto something in that they're trying to tap into the spiritual realm. They're trying to get into what is there. The spiritual realm is real, friends. And Jesus died, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the spiritual and the physical. He died. He came as a man and died, so that He can give birth to our spirits. So that we can have an intimate relationship with God who is spirit. And that's what separates us from every other religion, is that we do have a connection into the spiritual realm. Our spirits have been made alive. They've been made alive with Christ. And so we can have intimate fellowship with Jesus, who is spirit. He is spirit, friends. And I pray that as I share the word tonight, that something of your heart would be stirred. Just like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, as Jesus opened up the scriptures about Himself, about Jesus, their hearts were warmed. It says their hearts were warmed. And that word for heart is their spirits inside of them. And that tonight your heart would be warmed as we look at who Jesus is from Scripture. Amen? Amen. You ready? Let's do it. We're going to have a look at Psalm 23. And I know that most of you should be familiar with Psalm 23. But you know this, the devil's a schemer. Like the Joker says in The Dark Knight, they're all schemers. The devil's a schemer. And he's the chief schemer of them all. And he's got plans to hold you back from knowing Jesus. From knowing the fullness of Jesus. That's his plan. His plan is to prevent you from knowing Jesus. And maybe you've been born again, but maybe you don't know him fully. Maybe you haven't experienced him. The devil will throw all sorts of lies at you, preventing you from entering into a full relationship with him. And so Psalm 23 is a rich passage of Scripture, one of the most celebrated passages of Scripture. But because it's so familiar, we almost brush it aside. It's like, oh yeah, I know that one. The Lord is my shepherd, etc., etc. But the devil's plan is, if he can't hold something down, he'll push it into the realm of familiarity. So that you become so familiar with it, it just loses its power. But friends, all Scripture is God-breathed. And so we're going to go to Psalm 23 and we're going to open it up. I want to open it up tonight and have a look at what God promises us tonight from this passage of Scripture. So don't think, oh, here we go, another Psalm 23 preach. You know, I heard this at my granny's funeral 10 years ago. It's powerful, friends. So let's have a look. Turn with me to Psalm 23. If you have your Bibles with you. We're going to stay in Psalm 23, then we'll have a look at some other passages of Scripture, which will come up on the board. And we start right at the top, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I love that. David opens up by showing us a relationship with God like sheep and a shepherd. It's interesting. I've just got some verses here which are going to come up on the screen. 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you and I were like sheep going astray. But now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." And then in Mark 6, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Isn't that amazing? We so often think that Jesus, God, if God is real, I think there's people here right now, I can feel it in my heart, there's people here who are asking, is God real? And people do. They think, if God is real, then surely He's not pleased with me. If God is real, why would He want a relationship with me? It's one of the biggest lies of the devil, my friend. Jesus was the fullness of God, and He saw the people as a people like a sheep without a shepherd. Friends, Jesus sees you. And if you don't know Him, He sees you needing care. He sees you in the situation that you're in right now. Whatever it is that you're going through, He sees that situation. And He has compassion on you. Jesus did not come to condemn you. Jesus did not come to point how wrong you are. Jesus did not come to show you how much sin you have in your life. Jesus came to address every situation, every circumstance, every trial you face. Jesus came for that thing, and He has compassion on you. But now, why does He compare us as sheep? He doesn't compare us as goats or cattle. He compares us as sheep. I think it's because there's just something about sheep that we can learn from. And that is that sheep just follow the shepherd. Goats, on the other hand, they wander and they do their own thing. I mean, yesterday we were driving through Emmaweni Township, and we literally got out of New Germany into Wybank, and there's a couple of goats crossing the road. You're like, hey, welcome to Emmaweni, boys. You know, I mean, it was a main road, a couple of goats across the road, and hey, that's Africa. It's wonderful. But goats just do their own thing. Same thing with cattle; they do their own thing. But there's something about sheep where they all stay together. You notice that? Sheep just follow. And God compares us to sheep. Two things He compares us to, which we're going to look at later. He compares us to sheep and children. He wants us to be sheep and children. Why? He wants us to put aside our figuring it out, put aside our clever mindsets, and just follow. You know, when you recognize Jesus as your shepherd, you don't need faith. Because it's like, hey, I'm a sheep, He's a shepherd, let's do this. I'll follow. It doesn't take faith to be a sheep. Because when you're a sheep, you know you need to follow the shepherd. And then it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall lack nothing. Nothing. Did you get that? Nothing. You shall lack nothing, nothing, nothing. At all. You don't need anything else. Do you know that? I shall not want. I don't need anything else, because once you have Jesus as your shepherd, you don't need anything else. It starts on the inside. When you come to Jesus, you put your faith in Him as the Son of God, you get born again. Your spirit, which was dead, comes alive. You become a new creation. And in that moment, all of a sudden, every desire in your heart, every hunger in your heart is met and satisfied immediately in that moment from the inside out. And in that moment, you don't need anything else. But it flows from there. It starts from there. And then He is so gracious, so loving, so good. God is so good, friends, that He just keeps blessing you. He provides for you. He is your provider, and He promises to provide for you. So it starts on the inside, where every single desire is met. And then from there, it overflows, and we're going to have a look at that. It overflows into every other area of your life, in business, in school, in studies, in your family, in your friends. It starts there and works out into every other area of your life. The birds don't like sheep, obviously. Let's keep reading. In verse 2 it says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me. I don't lie down because I see Him. No, He makes. That's interesting, hey? It's almost like you get a picture of the shepherd walking along and the sheep going, and he's like, realizes this is a good place to stop. Okay, everyone, we're stopping here. Just sit down and just cool off. That's interesting. He makes me. This world that we live in is messed up. Just in case you didn't know. If you think you got a great life, go to Emoweni. The world we live in is messed up. Go to India. Go to the slums of the earth. You'll see this world is messed up. And we're all part of a rat race. And when you win, you become number one rat. Hallelujah. Who wants to be the number one rat? You want to be a sheep. That's right. Good. You're following. I like it, Bradley. Think about it. What's the point? It's toil, hard work, effort, more, do more. Jesus comes and He breaks that thing, and in a moment, you've been working so hard, disciples. Love that word this morning, Brad, that Brad brought about the disciples were fishing. You've been working so hard all night fishing. Jesus comes along. Just cast your nets on the other side. They catch more than their nets could handle in a moment. I love this quote. A moment of the Lord's favor is worth more than 10 years of labor. Jesus just wants you to rest. He makes me lie down. Jesus wants you to rest. Stop toiling and trying. God cursed the ground because of Adam and Eve's sin. Adam and Eve messed up. God is so gracious, He doesn't even curse them. He curses the ground. Amazing, isn't it? And then He curses the ground. He says, because of what you've done, I'm going to curse the ground. And this ground is now going to be hard for you to work. You've got to work hard, hard, hard. Then Jesus comes and He restores us to that place of intimacy with Him. Jesus comes and He gives His disciples more than they could handle. Jesus comes and He restores us. He provides for us. And He says things like, don't worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air. They live in the church. How much more do you think you'll be cared for? Worked, eh? See? No, seriously. He makes me lie down. I think we need to learn to rest. Rest in Him. God, do you know why God rested on the seventh day? God rested on the seventh day to show you what Jesus would do for you. Do you think God needs rest? No, He does not need rest. The Sabbath is a picture of Jesus. Jesus is my rest. In Jesus I rest. He makes me lie down. The Sabbath is a picture of Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and He cried out, it is finished. And then went to the grave for 3 days. He rose again, talked to His disciples for 40 days about the kingdom. Goes up into heaven and Stephen sees Him at the right hand of the Father. What was He doing? Well, He was standing at that moment. Yes, thank you, Zip. But He sat down. Hebrews tells us, He sat down at the right hand of the Father. When the work of redemption was complete, He sat down. He rested. Jesus wants you and I to rest in Him. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Come to your shepherd tonight. Stop trying. Stop working. He'll make you lie down. He'll give you the rest that you need. And you'll be refreshed in a moment, in an instant. And then it says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. What are those green pastures? What does that mean? It's a picture, friends, of the new covenant. It's a picture of what He did. The gospel is an unending river of joy. It never ends. You can never get enough of the gospel. It is rich. The scripture is rich of the promises of our God. You can never get enough of it. Green pastures. He makes me lie down. The grass is tall. We don't need to, I'm looking, I'm searching. He lavishes it upon us. We keep reading. Let's have a look. He leads me besides quiet waters. Now, what does that mean? Well, Jesus said in John chapter 4 that from within Him, rivers of living water will flow. So, the rivers of living water, the Spirit of God flowing within us, it's a river, okay? And that passage right there, He leads me besides quiet waters, is actually, it's not, we often get a picture of a dam. It's actually a river, quiet waters. It's actually a river. It's like when you're walking along the side of a river and you get to a section in the river where it's calm. You know what I'm talking about? Where all of a sudden it opens up and the river's calm. It's still flowing. You just can't see it. It's all just calm and quiet. Still life. Still lots of... still flowing. Still new water coming in and going out. But it's quiet. No rapids there. Jesus leads you besides quiet waters. Now, the rivers of living water are inside of us. If you're born again. If you're a new creation in Christ. And what happens is, He wants you to be at peace. In whatever situation that you're in, where you're going to study next year, where you're going to work, your job, who you're hiring, whatever it may be, He wants you to be at peace. Look out for the still waters. That thing inside that you just know. If there's anything inside, in your spirit, in your heart, that's just not at rest, He's leading you. These aren't still waters, my friend. I want to lead you beside still waters. He wants peace in your life. You know that? Jesus is your peace. He wants you to be at peace. And then it goes on in verse 3. He restores my soul. He gives life. He breathes life back into me. Some of you here are dead and you feel like you've just absolutely, you feel like you're ready to give up. You're tired. You've had enough. Come to Jesus tonight, your shepherd, and He will restore your soul. He will give life to your soul, to your being. He wants to give life. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He guides me in paths of righteousness. You know that? It doesn't say He makes me righteous. He makes me do things that are righteous. He guides me in paths of righteousness. He guides me. Righteousness is not something that you earn. Righteousness is a gift. It's imparted. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you are righteous. And He, once you come to Him, He will guide you where you should go. He'll show you where you should go. Just come to Him. Live in communion with Him. Galatians 5 says, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Yes, you are a born-again Christian, but you still have a body that enjoys a good drink of wine for the wine drinkers out there. And then after three cups, you think, or three glasses, hey, why not a few more? You just have a body that still has sinful tendencies. But live by the Spirit, live in relationship with Jesus, and He will guide you in paths of righteousness. Stay in communion with Him. Walk with Him, your shepherd, and He'll lead you. For His name's sake. Friends, the gospel is the greatest act that glorifies God. What Jesus did on the cross is what glorifies God the most. Not by how much you live, by how well you do. Look at me. See, every other religion, you can pinpoint the most holy man. In most of the religions, Buddhism, Islam, you can find a man who is the most holy, who you can grade according to their law, according to what they need to keep. You can say, he is the most holy. Well done. And he can boast in that. But the only boast we have as Christians is in what Jesus did for us. And it is for his name's sake that he saved me, this sinner. I don't deserve to be up here, but by his grace, he has called me. He called me by name. And tonight, he calls you by name for his name's sake, that he may bring glory to his name. The world will look at you and see you blessed, and see you prosper, and see you at peace. Where you shouldn't have peace, where you're going through a tough time, you shouldn't be at peace. But you just have peace for his name's sake. Because of what Jesus did, God receives the glory. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. How long until you become a better person? How long will it take till you become a better person? How long until you're living righteous? How long? I don't know. And it's not my job to tell you. Follow the shepherd, Jesus, and in time, in his time, he will guide you. He will guide you. One step at a time. We're not here to try and make you better people. We're not here to try and whack you into place. We're here to show you Jesus, the shepherd who wants to guide you. And my friend, I promise you, I make a promise tonight. When you come to him, your shepherd, when you come to Jesus, when you put your faith in his finished work, when you put your faith in him, in his goodness, you will find yourself slowly but surely changing. The things you used to like, you just don't have a desire for anymore. The things you used to be into, suddenly you're not into anymore. Why? Jesus. And so it's a process. It's done. Don't think it's going to happen overnight. And that's where the enemy gets us. We think, come to Jesus, be saved, be changed, and you'll be changed in an instant. Hallelujah. Go home. And the enemy lies to you. Oh, but you still did that. Oh, look what you did this week. And you call yourself a Christian? You gave your life to Jesus the other day. Please. Condemnation. You feel guilty. And you just feel like giving up. Romans tells us, who is he that condemns? It's not Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. It's a process, friend. It's a process. And I want to tell you, I understand that. But don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on him, because he didn't give up on you. Everyone with me? You're good? Amen. Hallelujah. I love preaching drunk. Now, I know that sounds offensive and what have you, but really, you know what? I prepared a lot for this sermon, but I just want to be so intoxicated with the presence of Jesus and so overwhelmed and saturated in his nature and who he is that whatever comes out of my mouth would stir your heart, would come from the throne room of heaven. That's what I mean when I say I love preaching drunk. Drunk as in, you know what, I'm not in control. He is. When you're intoxicated with wine, with alcohol, you're not in control. And so when we say drunk in the spirit, I'm just not in control. He is. And so I love letting him be in control right now. I hope you're okay with that. Let's keep reading. He loves his scripture. And he loves it when we reveal Jesus out of his scripture. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You find that interesting? The first three verses, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. And all of a sudden, even though I walk, you, directly you, I think that's no mistake. The Holy Spirit ordained it that way, I believe. To show us when you're in times of trouble, when circumstances are tough, when you feel afraid, go straight to Jesus. Don't tell people about your problems, go straight to Jesus, the solution to your problem. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Notice how it's the valley of the shadow of death. I ain't never seen a shadow of a sword cut someone. I ain't never seen the shadow of a dog bite someone. It's a shadow. It's the valley of the shadow of death. It's not the valley of death, friends. It's the valley of the shadow of death. So you may go through tough times, but actually it has no power over you because death has already been defeated. The worst possible thing in this world, death has already been defeated. It's only a shadow. And then the only thing that you can do is fear. Physically, nothing can happen to you. Spiritually, nothing can happen to you. The only thing that you can do is fear. And then Peter talks about the devil as a roaring lion. The devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It's just an interesting picture because, you know, in the Middle East, the lions were roaming in those days. I'm sure they knew how lions worked. Lions don't go up to their prey and go, "Roar! I'm going to take you out now." And then the little buck is like, "Yeah, okay, sure. Eat me alive. Why not?" It stalks its prey slowly, quietly. But the devil roars. Why? Because he's a defeated enemy. The only thing he's got is a roar. All bark, no bite. That's all he's got. He can only roar. And the only thing you can do is fear. Nothing else. All you can do is fear. Everything else that you feel that you're going, "Oh, the devil's got me in this one. This is tough. Oh. And the demons are attacking me, etc." Fear. It's fear. That's all it is. You're afraid. That's the only thing that can happen to you is fear. Because the devil is a defeated enemy. And so we'll go on. But my point is, I will fear no evil. Yes, there is evil in the world. Yes, the world is terrible. Yes, there are schemers out there. There is a spiritual realm. But you can fear none of it. You can fear no evil. Because the Lord is with you. Have a look at this verse. I know we skipped a whole bunch, Ash. But in Psalms 16 verse 11, it says this. It's coming in the King James Version. King James. The NIV just had it in a different way, so I wanted to use this version. So I didn't want to use it for the thy, but it's just there. "In thy presence, in your presence, is fullness of joy." Not just some joy, fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." My friend, whatever it is that you're going through right now, come to Jesus. Come to Him. Enter His presence. And fullness of joy will wash over you. The fullness of who He is. The fullness of His nature, His person, His love, His character, His grace will wash over you. And all fears will be relieved. All fears will fade away. Look full into His glorious face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim. And then it says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Now, I honestly thought that, I used to read that and think that that was in a discipline sense. So, He disciplines us. That's his rod and his staff to discipline us. Actually, it's two different instruments that the shepherd has. One is a rod, like a club, which literally any predator that is looming, he gives it one whack. Like David took out the lion, he took out the bear. My friend, Jesus will take anything on for you. He loves you so much. And then, your staff, they comfort me. That word staff in the Hebrew is a crook. When you're stuck, when you're in a situation, Jesus sees you, and that crook lifts you out of your situation back onto solid ground. It's that crook that comforts you. That you're alone, you're afraid, you don't know where your shepherd's gone, you don't know where the rest of the herd has gone, and you fell down this little crevice. Your shepherd comes along, and he leaves the 99, and he comes and he finds you. He says, there's my boy, my girl. And he puts down the crook, and he lifts you up in comfort, in peace. And all of a sudden, you just feel overwhelmed once more, and all fears are relieved. And then he throws a party. You know, Jesus tells that story of how the shepherd went and left the 99 to go and get the one. And it said, and the scripture tells us he throws the sheep on his back, and he's coming back. He's like, hey guys, let's have a party. The one sheep that was lost is now found. Let's have a party. You know why he wants to have a party? Because when you're partying, eventually all that guilt of, man, I got lost. Man, I held everyone up. Eventually in that, you're like, he's not bummed with me. He's not upset with me. He's actually just happy. There is no guilt, no condemnation in the presence of Jesus. If you come to Him, there is no guilt. He wants to drive out all guilt, all condemnation. He doesn't want you to feel bad. He wants you to feel happy. He wants you to feel thankful. He wants you to feel comforted. And then verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And that goes back to what I was saying about the devil being a defeated enemy. In old times, the king would defeat an enemy, and they'd often bring them into the king's dining quarters, and they would chain them up to the wall. And the king would eat and delight himself while the enemies are like gnashing their teeth. They can't do anything. And the king is delighting. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Yes, we do have enemies against us. Yes, we do have things that are roaring at us, against us. But my friend, eat of the Lord. Jesus is the bread of life. Eat of Him in the presence of your enemies. Don't wait for things to start going well. I'm going to wait until everything's hunky-dory, then I'll come to Jesus. In the presence of my enemies. When things are going tough, when circumstances are terrible, I will worship Jesus. When things are down, I'm going to go to Jesus. I'm going to come to Him because He is my shepherd. In the presence of my enemies, devil, you think you got one? You ain't seen nothing yet. Jesus is my source of joy. Not circumstance, not this life, not what I'm going through. Jesus is my source of joy. Jesus gives me joy. Jesus is my peace. Come to your shepherd, and no matter what you're going through, in the very presence of your enemies, delight yourself in Him. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now that, you anoint my head with oil, is an interesting picture because in the Hebrew times, they would use oil on their sheep to prevent them from getting sunburned. So it was a protection. It was a kind of sunblock. And it acted also, went into their ears and prevented flies from getting into their ears because the flies didn't like the oil. And Jesus anoints you to protect you from anything that you may face. From the devil's lies that come whispering in your ear, that oil of anointing is upon you. Nothing's going to get you down. Nothing's going to affect you. The sun, the circumstances of life, they're not going to burn you. Because He has anointed you. My friend, each and every one of you here have an anointing for something. He has called you. He's called you to extend His kingdom here on this earth. And He has anointed you for that very thing. That no matter what you face in that thing, you'll be protected. Nothing's going to come against you because He has anointed you for it. He'll never lead you where His grace cannot keep you. I'm sure you've heard that cliche before. No matter what it is that you know you have to go through, you just know, I've got to go through that. Know that He's anointed you for it. David knew. King of Israel. From a shepherd boy to king of Israel. My God's anointed me for this. He's prepared me for this. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Have you noticed that God is the God of more than enough? He doesn't just give you a cup. He gives you a cup that's overflowing. That's more than enough. Everything you need and more. He pours it. He lavishes it upon you. Everything you need. Come to Him, my friend. He'll give you everything you need. Your cup overflows. And that's what I was talking about earlier. You come to Him, you feel a satisfaction inside that you cannot explain. And it overflows into every area of your life. Every situation, everything. His oil of joy overflows. Amen? Amen. Jesus gives you more than enough. It means your cup will never run dry. Do you know that? Your cup will never run dry. If you're feeling dry, if you're feeling distant from God, then the enemy has sold you a lie. Now, I don't want to downplay any circumstance that you're going through, because I can only imagine what kind of circumstances some of you must be facing. But if you're feeling distant from God, that is a lie, because He is right there. He is your shepherd, and He will never leave you and never forsake you, no matter what you go through. He is right there. Your cup overflows. It overflows. It continuously flows. It never runs dry. Never. And then we keep reading in the last verse. Surely goodness and love, and that word love in the Hebrew is hased, which means loving kindness, which is another word for God's grace. Surely goodness and love will follow me. And that word follow means to hunt you down. He's going to pursue you. It's going to pursue you wherever you are. It's going to be there. It's not just following. It's after you. Whatever you do, it's there. God's goodness, God's grace is there. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Till the day you die, my friend, His goodness and His grace is there for you, no matter what you go through, no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter where you stumble, no matter where you fall, His goodness and His grace will follow you. It will hunt you down. It will cover whatever situation you're in, wherever you find yourself battling. His grace is right there. All the days of my life. And because of it, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. My friend, this is what the gospel is for. This is why Jesus did what He did on the cross. So that He can have an intimate relationship with you, His daughter, His son, forever. That you may dwell in His house forever. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are people here who believe, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I don't know if I'm good enough. I don't know if I've lived up to what He expects of me. My friend, if you are born again and you are in Christ Jesus, you are going to heaven. You are going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Nothing can separate you from the love of God found in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Nothing at all. if your sin could separate you from God's love, then what Jesus did was weaker than what Adam did when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. Because nothing you could physically do, nothing you could do under first Adam, under Adam and Eve's sin, nothing you could do could make you right with God. Nothing you could do could make you experience His presence. Nothing you could do could earn you eternal life. And so if on the other side of the cross, if something you could do could separate you from God's love, then what Adam did was more powerful. How can we say that what Adam did was more powerful than what Jesus did on the cross? What Jesus did on the cross guaranteed your situation. It guaranteed your presence in heaven, in the presence of God Most High forever. Forever. God is good, God is loving, and He sent His Son to die for you for that very reason. So that He may live in relationship with you. He loves you so much, He wants to live in relationship with you forever. That you may dwell in His house forever. No matter what you're going through, have hope in the fact that your Father has a special place for you in His house. And you will dwell there forever. Forever. We're going to take communion right now. So if the team could just come up and as we prepare to serve the bread and the wine, grape juice, for those that are worried. And I want to end with this passage of Scripture, Revelation chapter 7. Verse 16 and 17. You got it there, Ash. The last scripture there. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. See? Psalm 23. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. You're protected. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Now, don't you find that interesting that the Lamb at the center of the throne is also the shepherd? Do you want to know why that is? You'd like to know why the Lamb is also your shepherd? Because the Lord is your shepherd, but He had to take your place. And you are a sheep, and He had to take your place. As a sheep among the flock. So He came as a man. He came to be like one of us. To take our place on the cross and die in our place. I don't know if we could have the musicians up here. Oh Lord Jesus, our shepherd, our great shepherd. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your compassion towards us. Thank You that You saw us in our circumstances and You speak words of life to us. You have compassion on us and You want to teach us who You are. You want to show us Your goodness. You want to show us Your love. You want to show us Your mercy. I pray that You would reveal to us who You are. Spirit of God, we invite You in this place right now. Holy Spirit, would You come and move upon every heart, dead or alive, move upon every heart in this room right now and awaken Jesus as our shepherd tonight. That we may come to You, Jesus, our shepherd, and not want, not lack anything, not be in need of anything else, not chase after the wind, but chase only after You and Your presence. There is so much more to who You are. Show us, Lord. Our cup overflows. Show us, Lord. Pour it out tonight. Pour it out tonight in Jesus' name.